the bubble.
Hello and welcome to Burst the Bubble on Sunday the 7th of November on CAMFM. I'm Michael Quintario and joining me this week is Andrew Holding.
Hi there, Michael.
We're going to be looking at a variety of news stories, including the Queen setting up a Facebook page, and also perhaps possibly the strangest Monopoly-based achievement I've heard of yet. But we're going to start with something possibly even more out there, time travel.
Yeah, apparently there is a time traveller in one of Charlie Chaplin's DVD box sets. Well, not actually in the box set, because he wouldn't fit, but on the video footage.
So someone who's looks like she's talking on a mobile phone, despite the film that was made in 1928. And, of course, obviously no mobile phones back then.
And more importantly, no mobile phone masts. So why would a time traveller have a mobile phone? Unless it's one from Doctor Who.
Yeah, Universal Roaming or whatever manages to break the laws of physics in several different directions at once.
I wouldn't have considered Doctor Who factual, so maybe we'll have to come up with a better reason how this person had a mobile phone.
Perhaps it just hurt their ear.
You mean they're just holding their hand over?
Yeah. Perhaps they've got
tinnitus?
Tinnitus. That's the one. Tinnitus. Perhaps they've got tinnitus and they're just like holding their hand over there going, oh, perhaps this will stop soon.
Well, we did have a black box underneath the hand, so they would have been holding a black thing to keep their, you know, ears comfortable if that was that. I do actually have an idea what it was.
What was it?
Yeah, well, thank you to Richard Wiseman this came from, because he put it on his website, that around this time there were hearing aids which looked like a big black box. So obviously, unlike ones today, fit in your ear, it was kind of obvious to walk around with one. And, yeah.
Trying to make sure it didn't fall off then.
Well, I think they didn't hold on. You just held this box to your head, and that was... The electronics were quite bulky, and I think the other thing is, the reason why it was a never-seen-before bit of footage was because the woman walks on set by accident, which is, of course, not the greatest thing to do during filming.
No, it's okay in radio if you walk on by accident, because no one knows you're there. In fact, many times we've had people here secretly in the studio listening to us, but as long as they're not making noise, it's fine.
Well, it's just you and me at the moment, so unless there's a time traveller hiding under an invisibility cloak, we will never know.
There was an invisibility cloak in the news as well this week.
I'm getting rather tired that every invisibility cloak now is to do with Harry Potter, as if no one thought of the concept before Harry Potter.
I know, I'm sure D&D had it before.
I'm sure Predator had one.
Predator?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Was that a cloak, though?
I don't think the army one's going to be an actual cloak.
Cloaking devices in Star Trek?
Yeah, they do big... they do spaceships.
Yeah, so I think that's a lot more impressive than these slight bumps that they're actually managing to cover with invisibility cloaks now.
See, I always thought Star Trek got it wrong. The Enterprise should just had a big paint cannon, and then you would have been able to see it, because where the paint stuck, or where the paint disappeared. Either one would be fairly obvious.
I've actually read a book where there's a... I think it might have been one of the Artemis Fowl ones, where they'd actually detect a stealth spaceship because they scan for where there's no oxygen, because they can't penetrate the hull of the spaceship.
That's cunning. That was a really rubbish cloaking device then.
Yes.
All science fiction cloaking devices should be totally invisible to everything, even though it's totally impossible.
Yeah, it's a shame. One thing that you don't tend to hear in these news stories that doesn't get highlighted quite so much is it only works for like a certain colour of light.
Yeah, and then of course you just put thermal cameras on the person and they're glowing like a candle. But space brings us on to another story we've got here.
We love space. We're going for the sciencey bit today, because Andy's quite into his science.
I love my science. Science is great. Science is like real magic. It's like magic that actually... most magic science as well.
Magic science?
Well, most magic tricks are based on, you know, sort of either misdirection, which, okay, is more about psychology, or quite a few of them work on using science to carry out the trick.
Ah, okay. I wish you bought something to demonstrate now.
Magic doesn't work over the radio.
Not about recorded magic. I'm sure you were telling me about a recorded trick earlier.
Oh yeah, the electric voice effect. Well, that again wouldn't be so interesting over radio, because we could claim there were people talking in the room. We'd have no evidence that there's nobody else in the room just talking. But the electric voice trick, for people who don't know, is you're doing like a seance or something, you put a recorder on the desk, and when you play back what's on the recording, you hear a voice that wasn't there in the room. And it's done by a trick, which means if you play a very high frequency voice, the recorder will make it lower frequency, so it brings it back into your hearing range.
Hello.
Yeah, kind of like that, but higher. You never know he was a man if he keeps going. I can assure you, well, he looks like one.
Half man, half ghost.
Half man, half ghost. Do we have an echo fader in here? That's.
I don't think we do, so we not got anything exciting like that.
We don't have that budget. So back to our space story.
Oh, sorry, yes, we were talking about space rather than ghosts originally.
I do wonder if you just bring me here to bring you back on track some days. So apparently the last mission of Discovery, that is the space shuttle rather than a ship of any other sort, is going to take up a robot called Robonaut 2 on it. Robonaut 1, sadly, apparently never got off the ground. And
it wasn't really a Robonaut, it was just a robo then, surely.
Well, it had...
You don't get into space. You're not allowed to stick naught at the end of your name.
Yeah. I think that's a fair comment, to be honest. But
so it was Robo One, and now Robot. Surely it should be Robo Naught One.
Well, Robonaut Two, of course, hasn't made it to space yet either. So is it just being a bit pretentious?
Yeah, I think it's jumping the gun a bit there. Who knows what might happen to Robonaut Two?
I mean, having seen most space-related robots, I would be slightly scared on the space station by having a robotic counterpart.
You're just waiting for it to start singing Daisy.
Well, what's more disturbing is it's obviously made to look a bit like a person, but they talk about how it has five eyes, and one of the fifth eye is in its mouth. Now, I don't know what person was on the design committee, but that doesn't sound very, like, friendly.
I think they've just had some nightmares and got confused with real life.
Well, I certainly have no eyes in my mouth.
Oh, you're going to say you have no eyes in your nightmares, then? They're all gone.
No, there's only one eye in Nightmare.
No. You just kind of spoiled it now. You're going to bring spelling into it. That's appalling.
So, yeah, anyway...
Destroy my dreams.
Well, don't worry.
Nightmares.
To make your nightmares happier, Robonaut 2 sadly has no legs, so you can... like a Dalek, you can run away from him.
Or walk.
Or sort of float, drifting away, grabbing onto stuff.
In space, you won't need legs. You can just grab onto arms and just getting this horrible half body launching itself across the space shuttle to attempt to strangle me. You've given me new nightmares with one eye, five eyes,
and one in the mouth.
Ah, no, I actually heard a bit about. It's legs not be. His legs are turning up on a later flight. It's not that he hasn't got any legs. It's just they've not finished them yet.
How many shuttle flights are left?
I don't know. It's only about three, isn't it?
So that's quite a worry. If he gets him a lost luggage selection, you know, he might never see him again.
Oh no! I think the whole like half of you on one flight, half of you on the other flight sounds like some really, really incredibly low budget airlines.
Well, it's better than EasyJet, which would, if you took a trip to the International Space Station on, you would turn up 5 miles away in a different airport and you have to take a taxi across.
Have to spacewalk across.
Space taxis don't exist yet, sadly. Have to wait for Richard Branson to add that to the Virgin Galactic empire that he's building.
Apparently, its computer processes fire commands to its highly dexterous arms and fingers.
Can you have dexterous arms? Isn't that contradictory to the word's meaning?
Yeah, dex means fingers, doesn't it?
Like no, dex. I think dexter actually means right, doesn't it?
Does it?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
So technically a left-handed person isn't dexterous, they're sinistrous.
Oh, well, fair enough then.
That classical education for a whole 2 years was totally wasted on me because that's all I can remember.
I like the fact that they just called it R2. We're going to
the legs of D2.
Yeah.
Little R2-D2 never had any legs, did he? Well, well, his legs or arms?
Yeah, jets. And the new ones, anyway.
Do we have to pretend those existed?
I think we do.
My daughter was born after those were made, poor thing.
So she'll never know that there were just three of them originally.
We actually sat down a while ago to do a marathon of all the Star Wars movies, but we just gave up on episode 1, 2, and 3 and started at 4. It was probably for the best. I actually have to say that they link up really well. If you watch them in one sitting, it's actually quite fun, as long as you have a reasonable number of drinking games or things like that, and Star Wars-based food, as we did.
How do you have Star Wars-based food?
Wookiee cookies.
Are they just cookies?
Which look a bit like Wookiees.
So they're cookies which you haven't obeyed basic food hygiene while creating, and your hair has just fallen onto the cookies.
No, they're tasty in that. Yoda soda.
Is it green?
Yeah, made of limes.
I can see how they got the name for that.
This actually came from the Star Wars cookbook.
No, there's no such thing as a Star
Wars. Go look it up.
You're making it up.
The best reason to buy it is actually whichever photographer they got in to make this, do the pictures of the food, also have plastic models of different Star Wars characters climbing over everything. So it's hilarious to read, but also you feel the need to then cook from it because you have it. And yeah, no, it's two of them, the Star Wars cookbook 1 and 2. I can't remember what they're called.
It's Star Wars cookbook 2, purely from the prequels.
There is a Darth Maul sort of dipping sauce you get in one of them, but you put this plastic stencil that comes with it, and you then put poppy seeds over to do the Darth Maul black stripes and those things, and you put two olives in for the eyes. I'm probably going to get sued by the makers of this book now for giving away all their top recipes.
Yeah. Stop it.
Yep, right now. We'll go and search it. I can't remember what it's called. It's something like Star Wars Wookiee Cookies or something like that.
Now we're wandering fairly close to product placement rather than Tales of Andy's Home Life.
I thought it was in the BBC you had problems with product placement.
I don't know.
Well, we're not advertising any of them. If you don't like it, don't buy it.
Well done there. nicely saved. So if you've got any comments on time travel, if you've got any other evidence, because as previous shows have suggested, we love a bit of conspiracy theory here on Burst of Bubble. Or you'd like to talk about a bit more whether a five-eyed robot with no legs will in fact cause you nightmares.
Or if you have found his legs.
Or if you've found his legs and need to return them to NASA, please get in touch with us. Our email address, studio@camfm.co.uk. And you can also go to our website, www.camfm.co.uk, and speak to us using the form there.
On air, online, and across Cambridge.
Your station.
Your Cam FM.
Hello and welcome back to Cam FM. That was The Darkness with I Believe in a Thing Called Love. This is Burst the Bubble with me, Michael Quintario.
And me, Andrew Holding.
Now we're moving on to some more news stories now. An unusual cat attack where apparently a Lana the tortoiseshell cat has attacked a postman who's been trying to put letters through their letterbox.
That's not very nice.
The thing that gets me here, because I've been a postie in the past.
Have you?
Yeah, just for a summer.
Did you get a bike or a van?
Neither.
They made you walk.
Yeah, they dropped me off in a van at the start of the walk, and then made me walk.
Wow, that's cost cutting for you.
But what's getting me here is they're kind of complaining about the fact that the Royal Mail is threatening to cut off deliveries to their house unless they keep their cat under control.
You mean unless their cat stops maiming Royal Mail people? Well, to be fair, it didn't really maim, just made him bleed for 2 hours.
Oh, yeah. So, now the postman knocks each morning to hand them the post in case the cat is there. I think it's health and safety gone sensible again.
Well, I mean, it's not exactly hard to stop a cat clawing at people, putting things to that. I mean, the letterbox shown is right on the floor as well, so it's like right where the cat's going to sit there waiting to catch food.
The cat's there, waiting.
Well, what else is it going to do?
Dun, dun.
So, I mean, typically, though, you know, it's normally dogs who hit the news for biting postmen.
They don't tend to hit the news so much because people just know that they do it.
Well, yeah, okay, hit the news, paper. It's a work of fiction.
All those things that happen in cartoons where you have... Where you have postmen being chased by dogs, they're actually true. And I've actually been, as a postman, being chased by a dog.
Really?
Yeah. It was quite scary. I quickly grabbed hold of my bag and held it out in front of me as some sort of protection.
That wasn't a nice dog. Did you tell the owners? Did you write to the Daily Mail?
I didn't write to
Or any other newspaper you may wish to choose?
No, I didn't write to any newspaper.
Do you think The Guardian would publish something like that?
I think so, yeah. I've seen this all over the place, this news story.
Wow.
But, it's news because it's cat. I await to see... I think they shouldn't have published this. I'm worried that we're going to see now a series of copycat, literally. I didn't actually mean to do that deliberately.
We're going to see a bunch of... I'm groaning.
Yeah, we're going to see a bunch of copycat animals now who are all going to... All going to start attacking postmen. I mean, next it'll be a budgie, tortoise.
There's a problem with your theory.
What?
I don't think that budgies read the newspaper. I mean, they poo on it, but they don't read it.
But the thing is, their owners will read it and will think, that's a way to get famous.
What?
A new animal attacking a postman.
Well, then get yourself a pet iguana. No, iguanas aren't scary. They're quite small. I meant something like
they're very slow and just like lizardy. I don't think that's
Komodo dragon. There you go,
Komodo dragon. They're just as lizardy, maybe slightly faster.
They're huge. They can bite your arm off.
Is it like swans can break your arm?
Is there any proof of that?
I have never known a swan to break a person's arm. I have no first-hand experience. Has anyone out there listening, have any of you actually seen any injuries caused by a swan? We would like to build up our evidence base for this.
I was bitten by a goose once.
A goose?
A goose. They're nasty animals. They're aggressive, really aggressive. Best guard pet you can have, a goose.
Wow, so bull terriers, watch out there.
Oh, yeah, a bull terrier versus goose, I would vote for the goose.
That sounds like a new reality TV show.
I think
Bull Terrier versus Goose.
I think that would be banned after under any sort of Fighting Animals Act there, maybe. I don't know what it is.
They don't have to actually fight. They can compete in obstacle courses against each other. We can have total wipeout, strange animal, guard dog edition.
Which one can jump first? Oh, look, the goose is flying.
I can't help but feel that would be considered cheating unless they actually hit all three of the bouncy balls.
So we have to clip the goose's wing. That kind of seems unfair. What penalty do we give the dog?
As a bulldog. I think looking like that is penalty enough, frankly.
So going back to the cat story, did it have a Facebook page? That's what I want to know.
Why would the cat have a Facebook
page? Well, it's now a minor celebrity. Everyone has a Facebook page.
The Queen. The Queen is getting a Facebook page.
The Queen, yeah, see, that was a perfect subtle link there, wasn't it? Never saw that coming. The Queen now has a Facebook page, apparently. Or will do soon. But sadly, you can't friend her, you can only like her. As if in some political statement there, which we would never make.
You can't be friends with your monarch, really, can you? It just wouldn't work.
You can friend me on Facebook if you want to. I'm lonely.
Aww.
I've only got 300 friends.
Only. This must be some new definition of lonely, which I have not heretofore come across.
Well, have you come across a scientific study that shows that you can't have more than like 150 friends?
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that one.
Yeah, the one which was defined as a friend as someone who, if you met in an airport, that you'd be willing to go to the bar with, or some really random definition of a friend there. Which
What if you don't go to airports? What if you don't like bars?
It was a particular airport bar. It was like the bar at JFK Airport. I mean, if someone knows the study, feel free to email in, because I'd love to remember it. It was on QI a while back. But yeah, going back to the friends thing, I actually know someone who has more friends than Facebook will allow. It locks you out of 5,000 friends, everyone.
5,000 friends?
5,000.
How do all the celebrity accounts cope?
Well, she has more friends than people like Brian Cox and people like that.
Wow, that's quite impressive. What's the secret?
She does quite a lot of podcasts. So, and being a she, I think that always helps the lonely men who listen to science. No, I shouldn't say that. I make science podcasts.
You've now offended... What, probably a large proportion of the population. I was going to say half population, but then I thought, well, other people can be offended on lonely men's behalfs as well.
Well, let's just say there may be lonely men out there who maybe are more likely to friend attractive, intelligent females. That's all I'm saying. I mean,
will they friend the Queen?
Well, or the Queen? Is she an attractive, intelligent female?
Well, I definitely saw that some people would say yes.
Oh, she.
She's managed to keep hold of a job for quite a long time, which is quite impressive in these circumstances today.
Yep,
she's got money.
I mean, permanent employment, that is incredible. I mean, most of us would have been made redundant by now. Yeah, what do you have to do to make the Queen lose her job? Can you actually fire her as a civil servant, or will we have to get tanks and march on Buckingham Palace? Not that I'm trying to advocate revolution here. I don't want it to start from the Cam FM studio. The Republic of the United Kingdom.
Well, no, yeah, it's supposed to be some sort of pub that you start revolutions for, not an underground bunker might work in certain circumstances, but not one that you're broadcasting to the world. Your revolutionary messages from an underground bunker. Actually, we've got the perfect setup here.
The big issue I would have.
Anyone fancy a revolution? Not necessarily throwing over the Queen. What can we do for a revolution?
I want to know, if we did throw over the Queen, would it become the United Republic or something else? What will we call ourselves?
But it's not United Queendom, is it?
Well, I don't even know what the words mean anymore. They're just the slack of them. We should update our name every time the monarch changes gender. We changed the national anthem, after all.
Yeah, one.
Unless you think we're going to have God Save the Queen when Prince Charles comes to power, if he ever does.
Oh, no. I'm just blocking all this out now. I'm not sure I want to consider questions of monarchy and constitutions on a Sunday. I think it's above my, I was going to say pay scale, but I'm not being paid for this. My level of interest. It's not particularly.
What you're saying is this has become a boring link, and you want to move on quickly.
I'm like Queen, fair enough, but Facebook. Let's go back to talking about Facebook. Everyone loves Facebook, apart from those who don't.
Do mermaids?
No, you're just trying to fit in as many spurious links as possible now, aren't you?
Do mermaids use Facebook? Do computers work underwater?
Well, you can definitely get waterproof phones and stuff, so yes, they do work underwater.
Isn't there... Oh, is it Copenhagen which has that statue of a mermaid? Famously.
The really famous one.
We can't remember the name of.
That's how famous it is, boys and girls.
Yeah, that's had a really hard time. I remember someone cut its head off once, which, you know... For a priceless statue is a really terrible thing to do.
It's better for a priceless statue than a person. Priceless statues, the heads can be fixed. Well, you can't fix the head if you cut the head off.
I was not saying that destruction of art is worse than murder.
It certainly sounded that way to me, Andy.
I value all human life.
Well, that's our thought for the day. Boys and girls, value all human life.
Talking about death, Paul the Octopus died.
Oh, we miss Paul the Octopus
now. Did we cover that on this show?
I think it happened in a convenient time for me to actually add it to the show, but yeah, we've not covered it. We covered the phenomena that was Paul the Octopus during the World Cup.
My daughter's cuddly toy octopus is called Paul after Paul the Octopus. And she will not be able to know or understand that in any way. She doesn't speak yet. So she's got Paul the Octopus.
Everyone's favourite, animal teacher of probability. Paul the Octopus.
Paul the Octopus. Well, he didn't see that coming.
Thank you. You just repeated something which must have been around the world about 5 times by now.
Yeah, well.
It's an old joke.
First
of all, where old jokes go to die.
Okay,
like the octopus.
Should we move on to the next topic?
We should. So sticking with the undersea theme that you so cunningly slipped in there. An aquarium. Oh, this is talking about old jokes. An aquarium has advertised for a real life mermaid, and apparently they've been flooded with applications.
Oh, that's great. Also, let's be fair, because for gender reasons, they've also advertised for real life mermen.
Yeah, it's a. Someone that
Ethel Merman. Sorry.
Okay, that was actually the first original one, vaguely, that we had.
I am capable of original humour. It's just other people are better at it than me, so I rip it off.
But actually, they want someone to the Seaquarium in Rill wants someone to swim with all of their fish while wearing a costume.
Okay, so you have to swim with your legs tied together.
Perhaps if they just make the tail quite big or quite flowy, you wouldn't actually have to.
Well, I think on that thought, we should go to our next song. Whilst the listeners send in their emails about what they think they would do if they had a job as a mermaid in a store.
Yeah, what would you put on the application form? They've had all sorts of people. Students, which is quite appropriate for us, and paintball marshals. I have no idea what being a paintball marshal and being a mermaid have in common.
Well, you can email your thoughts in on studio@camfm.co.uk or through the website www.camfm.co.uk.
97.2 CamFM.co.uk. Your station. Your CamFM.
Hello and welcome back to Burst of Bubble on CamFM with me, Michael Ontario, and my guest, Andrew Holding.
Hi there.
Now, we're moving on to another story now, based around everyone's favourite argument causer at Christmas, the board game Monopoly.
I hate Monopoly.
Well, that's very nice for you.
It's I hate it with a passion, I have to say. It's one of those games that I don't think I can actually finish a game before just getting bored or wanting to kill a family member. So it has no benefit to my life whatsoever.
Well, you think that's games are long. Here's a sort of game of Monopoly, which has almost been going on for about 150 years.
That sounds like a game of Monopoly to me.
Solomon Marshall, who sell a Yorkshire quarry company, have finally managed to provide flagstones in payments for every single stop on the London Monopoly board, Old Kent Road all the way up to Mayfair.
So how old is the person who came up with this idea?
I don't know. They just know that Solomon Marshall's first sold flagstones 150 years ago to somewhere in Kensington, which wasn't on the board. But now they've just finally got the last two streets in Whitehall.
That's...
Also Park Lane. Mayfair, even.
So they got the expensive ones last.
Yeah. They actually... the guy who is in the natural stone division here, Gordon Hines, said it may have been a case of the poshest place last. Which, to be honest, sounds like a sensible way of doing it. You go for the cheaper places first. I think that's a valid Monopoly strategy.
They have a natural stone division. So there's fake stone division of this pavement laying company.
Yeah, you gotta get some of that fake stone from people who can't afford the real thing. It's not proper designer stone. It's a cheap knockoff.
What, it's made from plastic?
Perhaps, who knows?
Does it melt when it gets sunny? Oh no, that's actually what tarmac does. If you've ever seen it. It's not a problem I personally face, but if you've ever been with a female partner, or you are yourself female, you have had the embarrassing experience of standing in the hot sun in your nice high heels, slowly sinking down into the ground. At least that's what's happened to the person next to me once in a while, and it's amusing until you realise they can't move away, and then you're stuck with them in an embarrassing situation. You're trying to look cool, but not admit that your girlfriend or partner or wife is now stuck to the ground.
I think that sounds like a piece of modern art to me. Stiletto in cement or something.
Stiletto in tarmac. Yeah, well, we could try that. Try pitching it to the Tate Modern, see how they go with it.
I think it'd work well in the turbine hall. Just one stiletto, just stuck in the middle.
You could just get the stiletto and just hit it very hard on the floor and stick it into the Tate Modern itself.
That's sort of what I was...
Oh, okay. Okay,
I wasn't imagining creating a separate piece of tarmac to be put on the fourth plinth in Trafalgar Square sort of thing or anything like that. I was just going for use the space that's there for you. You can probably tell I'm not actually an artist.
For our listeners who are sort of needing us to burst their bubble, do you know what's on the fourth plinth at the moment?
It's a giant ship, isn't it?
Is it a giant ship
in a bottle?
That's awesome, because I didn't know that. I kind of lost track. You know when they did the random people can stand up there for 10 minutes
really
at a time?
I really like that. One and other.
That was brilliant.
I love that. There was one person who went up there as a football referee who was giving passers-by yellow cards, and then halfway through his slot, he was just whistled for half-time and went ahead and sit down for a little while.
That's brilliant. I saw the guy who taught people how to dance Thriller by Michael Jackson.
He just spent the entire hour just going, okay, now stick your arms out and look like you're a zombie.
He did the whole thing properly. He got about 1% of the way through the song, considering the length of the slot, but he tried.
Yeah, he tried. I think perhaps he was hoping for future slots so that he could complete an entire song, but sadly, he didn't get it.
He got quite a good audience, and they did play along, so all credit to him for actually engaging and doing an enjoyable event,
yeah,
rather than just sleeping up there, as some people did.
And all credit as well to these stone makers who have managed to complete their challenge. They say their flags are famously hard to break. I'm unsure as to how something becomes famously hard to break rather than just hard to break. Do you get an advert with a series of celebrities going, we tested this designer stone flag against its nearest competitor and tried to break them both?
I'm just wondering, what do they define as famous? Because to me, famous would mean people would know about it. And
you didn't.
And I don't think any of our listeners know about this flagstone. I mean, maybe in flagstone circles they're famous. Maybe I'm being very harsh here. Maybe they have flagstone conferences where they talk about flagstones and pass flagstone business cards about their latest flagstone products, and ring each other on a flag phone? I don't.
I think now you've gone too far.
Okay.
But I like the fact that they deliberately put a crack in some of the ones. So they laid them in San Francisco. It represents a San Andreas fault. So perhaps they're saying that our flagstones may stand up to many natural disasters, but earthquakes fissuring directly across them isn't one of them.
I've got this image now that actually the entire company, for some reason, because of that flagstone bit I just did, it's remind me of the Flintstones, and I have this image of dinosaurs quarrying away stone, because that just sounds much better than modern construction industry.
Apparently they keep all of the bits of fossils that they find in the quarry, and there are also crude spears of iron occasionally found in the rock, which they do think they call dinosaurs' testicles.
That's charming.
So, see, I bet you did. That was one of the occasions where you didn't intend to make a cunning reference to something else, and you did by accident.
Yeah, well, I'm not always making cunning references to something.
That's how skillful you are now.
If you're on the stonework and fossils thing, I don't know if anyone's ever been in the Grand Arcade and looked at the floor, which is made from apparently real marble. It could be fake. And
Is this like fake stone?
It could be. I never knew about fake stuff before. But
it's fake marble now.
But it has fossils in it.
Ooh.
You can see lots of
real fossils or fake fossils.
Again, if it's fake stone, one would assume they're printed there. But then
why not? They could have put real fossils in fake stone to make a commentary on modern life and about how even within some of the fakeness of modern life, there are still elements of the truth and wonderful, exciting elements of the truth at that.
Well, have you come across the creationists who believe that fossils were put there by Satan?
Not personally, no.
Yeah, they're put there to make us not believe the literal translation of the Bible.
Fair enough.
I think even creationists think they're idiots, but, you know. not that that is in any way a stadio viewpoint. That's mine. And I'm happy to stick to it.
Moving swiftly on, we are going to go to something which lots of people might also find offensive, is a student who has bet £100 that he will still be with his girlfriend at graduation 2 years later.
6-1 odds, apparently.
I know, that surprised me.
That's quite poor. Well, poor odds for him to make money. I would have thought that the odds, going by all my friends who went to university, they all broke up.
Oh, that's really depressing.
I didn't. I just don't want to be a smug person. And go, and I would have made money on that. But I have now. So, thank you.
No, it's just one of those things where it's kind of like it's just going to really mess him up if he breaks up or she breaks up with him, isn't it? It's kind of like, not only have you broken up with your girlfriend, you've also lost your £100 stake and your chance to win £600.
It's kind of like, will it become a sham relationship just for the money? Will they ask for, you know, how will they prove they're still really going out? I mean, I don't want to ask if it involves cameras.
Oh. He's fed his girlfriend well here. She apparently said that she actually thought it was a really lovely gesture. It was so touching of him to say that he wanted to still be with me at graduation.
Aww.
But
I mean, it's sweet they want to be together, and it's a nice way to make money, I suppose.
Yeah,
little bonus when you leave. Yeah, £500.
Yeah. So do they split the £600 at the end?
Does he use it to buy her an engagement ring?
Ooh. Oh, no, you've kind of given it away.
Was it in there?
No, it's not in here. But that would, I think that would be a really.
I thought I just guessed something which was in the article. But you made me panic for it. Have I just wrecked your plan for the link as you throw the article on the floor?
But no, the bookmaker involved. Who's the bookmaker?
We're not going to advertise them.
No, the betting specialist involved.
Which you may choose to use any betting specialist of your own personal preference.
said he was impressed by the bet. And this is just pandering to stereotypes here. This really gets my goat. Christopher has taken the ultimate student sacrifice, spending the equivalent of 7 cases of beer and a long-term commitment to his girlfriend.
Maybe he prefers wine. Which university does he go to, does it say?
Durham, isn't it?
Durham. All drink wine up there, I'm sure. If you're in Durham and you're listening, which is highly unlikely for on a Cambridge station, please email me.
But no, it's just like, that's the ultimate student sacrifice, spending not having 7 cases of beer. I don't have 7 cases of beer. Am I making the ultimate student sacrifice?
I haven't drunk for months, actually.
You're not a student anymore. You therefore do not count.
Is that what happens? I'm unable to purchase alcohol because I no longer have my student card.
Morally, yes.
Morally.
You're not a student. You're not allowed to keep the student lifestyle. Not allowed to go out and get drunk and be stereotyped.
I can definitely be stereotyped, like right now by you.
Yeah, so they just like stereotype you, the scientists. Yeah.
I wear a white coat. Actually, right now, I'm still wearing my lab coat.
your lab coat appears to have transmogrified into a white t-shirt.
It's
a bit grubby white t-shirt.
It's a stealth lab coat. Look, we were on radio. We could have got away with that.
If we scan it, will we not be able to tell that there's any you inside the stealth lab coat? Is it like one of the? Is it an invisibility lab coat?
It's an invisibility lab coat. It's so good you just can't see it.
You just can't see the lab coat. It doesn't hide anything behind itself. It just hides itself.
It's hiding the elephant in the corner brilliantly.
The elephant in the room.
Can you see the elephant?
Well, okay.
It's pink.
So if you've got any more suggestions for combining stories that we've been talking about and these stereotype, or in fact just anything that we've been talking about, you can email us studio@camfm.co.uk or from the website www.camfm.co.uk. Get talking.
Online 97.2. On air camfm.co.uk. And across Cambridge. Your music. Your Cam FM.
That was Don't Look Back in Anger by Oasis, and the song before that was Plug In Baby by Muse. This is Burst the Bubble on Cam FM, and I'm Michael Quintario.
And I'm Andrew Holding.
Let's move on to the last couple of news stories for the week. One for all of you chocolate lovers out there who are also feeling that their environmental credentials should be kept up there as well. A compostable tray for chocolate boxes.
Why don't they just make this box for chocolates and more chocolate?
There was a story that we covered not that long ago, actually, which was about how they were talking about making a crisp packet out of potato skin. Actually turning that into the crisp packet as well. It would be potato inside potato.
Did you hear about the new eco packets in the US? It may have been those packets they've had to remove because the packets were too noisy. So they've gone for less biologically degradable packets.
Because they're too noisy?
Yeah, they rustle too much.
When
people stuff their face in them.
When people are trying to like secretly eat crisps, is that a key demographic? Those who hide with a packet of crisps, and someone goes, I can hear that rustling.
Well, without hinting anything, this was in a pot country which maybe have a crisp eating problem. I don't know.
But no,
I only want to infer, I don't want to actually, you know, make any accusations.
Apparently, the trays are made of plantic, a material made from starch that is 100% compostable. And also dissolves in water. So if you've got your chocolates out, don't get them out in the rain.
That would be an odd thing to do.
No, come on. Just kind of like sitting there in the light drizzle in a romantic fashion. I'm sure that happens in movies. And then just like get the chocolates out. And oh no, the tray's decomposing.
Have you come across the fact that if you leave a Mackie D's on the side, it doesn't decompose?
Nah.
It's true. You can Google the news stories. I can explain it too if you want. But
I don't think we've got time. We're running rapidly.
Whoa! Well, the quick answer is basically if you leave any food on the side in your house in an air-conditioned environment, it will not decompose. But people do it with Mackie D's, so claim it's artificial.
Ah,
those artificial cows which glow on artificial stones. There you go. We do have time.
Fair enough. That was quick. Yeah. Apparently, in the new chocolate boxes, the outer layer is recyclable cardboard, then greaseproof paper, and it's also fully recyclable above it. The only material not compostable would be the plastic film wrapped around the box. Well, if you're going to leave that in there, why are you bothering with that?
I don't get why you... I don't know. Just tape the box on. Shove something.
Take it off.
Also in...
It's a box.
Also in Cambridge.
Box in things.
In Cambridge, we now have the blue bins that recycle, like, every plastic known to man.
Every plastic known to man? Really?
Well, Cambridge is at 90% recycling. It's really good.
Oh, wow.
We're not there yet, but that's what we're trying to hit.
That's a lot more. In my house, we accidentally forgot to put the recycling out 1 week. And so it had to wait another 2 weeks, and we ended up with a mountain of recycling.
Do you have a blue bin, then?
We have boxes.
Oh, see, some of the areas have been dead for the blue bin. It's really good. We don't really use the black bin now for anything but nappies.
Apparently, this has been trialled in 2007, this plantic. And they got good feedback, so now they're using it on Swiss chocolates for Christmas. What took them so long?
I've just thought of a great reason to have this. You eat your chocolate, mean, you flush the box down the toilet so no one knows you're scoffing chocolates.
You say this in the thing. It's kind of, ultimate guilt-free invention for die-hard chocolateholics looking to destroy their evidence of the crime, say the Guardian.
They have a misunderstanding what guilt-free means.
Yeah, you're still guilty, you're just not caught.
It's a bit like a murderer got away with it, but, you know, he's guilt-free.
Because no one knows he does it. That's how guilt works. Imagine if that was how guilt worked. If no one else knew about it, you would just never feel guilty. You could get up to so many things.
You could just go out
horrifying,
absolutely plastered, and then you wouldn't have any guilt because you don't remember what you did last night.
That'd be terrifying, though. Imagine if everyone else didn't have any guilt about what they were doing, if no one else saw it. So you just have to make sure that you're always going around in big groups.
That's a really awful view. Well, not view of all, but possible alternative world. It just terrifies me.
This is this dystopian, guilt-free future.
Should we move on to the next link?
Yeah, that's
I don't want any more nightmares. I've always got robotic machines.
I want to give you more nightmares. Electricity going to the brain improves your maths ability.
Lies.
Apparently,
prove it.
Apparently, it's Oxford University research. A tiny electrical current can make you better at learning maths.
I've got a cable here. Can we plug it into your head and see if it works?
I'm not convinced that you've got the technical skills here to successfully put the cable in the right place.
Fair point.
Apparently they used magnetic fields in early research to disrupt electrical activity in this part of the brain, and then people couldn't solve maths problems.
So what? That's where invading another country. You disrupt all the maths problems so they all miss with all the guns. I'm going to aim... I've missed.
I'm just imagining that now that Frankenstein's monster must have been really good at maths.
Or really bad.
No, because is it electricity being stimulated in there, surely, rather than magnets switching it off?
I'm having trouble linking this work of fiction into reality, but...
That's your problem.
Frankenstein, a great story about prejudice, has now been made into a story about maths.
I'm sorry, I'm a physicist.
Simple.
I'm not a mathematician, no matter what people may think. We've got a little bit longer. And the ability to tweak activity in parts of the brain could open the door to treating a range of psychological and neurological problems, said Dr. Christopher Chambers from the School of Psychology at Cardiff. I'm not sure why they felt the need to go to a different university from where it was actually done.
Peer review.
Good point.
Peer review in the news, that will be a first.
Well, congratulations, newspaper there.
Have you come across that they can now also do fibre optics into the brain?
How does that work? What do they do? Do you get pictures?
You get a rat and you modify the cells in the brain.
That's
so
like worst recipe ever. First, take one rat.
They probably taste nice. But going back to it, you genetically modify the brain, so you take photoreceptors, which are generally found in the eye, and put it these channels on the cells in the brain genetically, and then when you can put fibre optic in the brain, and when you stimulate those cells with light, you can trigger the cells if you're stimulating with electricity. So you have these rats with fibre optic sticking out the head.
Ooh.
Apparently this is really useful. It's probably...
And you were complaining about nightmares from other stuff earlier, and you're talking about putting fibre optics into rat brains. I think you've been telling lies to us about what gave you nightmares.
I think it's the advantage if it's more directed to the actual cells, because you can put the light sensitivity in the right cell.
So can we predict tomorrow's news today with that, quickly?
Fibre optics will be added to all sorts of animals in the future.
Thank you. We've been Burst of Bubble. I hope you enjoyed the show. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.